Psalm 116:15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants." Today's program on Chris Fabry Live has changed because of something that happened over the weekend. It was not unanticipated. However, it was still shocking, sad, and it has raised some questions and has provided an opportunity to talk about eternal things on today's program. I'm talking about the death of Nabil Qureshi on Saturday. A year ago, he announced that doctors had diagnosed him with stage 4 stomach cancer. "This is an announcement that I never expected to make," he wrote. "But God, in his infinite and sovereign wisdom, has chosen me for this refining, and I pray he will be glorified through my body and my spirit. My family and I have received the news that I have advanced stomach cancer, and the clinical prognosis is quite grim. Nonetheless, we are going to pursue healing aggressively, both medical and miraculous, relying on God and the fact that he is able to do immeasurably more than we ask, than all we ask or imagine." He died on Saturday the 16th, and at the age of 34. Today, we're going to process that news with our guest, Dr. Ray Pritchard. We were going to talk about Galatians and the impact on the Reformation that that book of the Bible had. But on Saturday when I heard this news, and then all day yesterday as I was kind of processing this myself and with my family, as we were asking questions back and forth about what, you know, what does this mean, and how does this, what does faith look like in the face of cancer, in the face of death at 34? I decided I really want Ray to talk about this, and Ray said, yeah, let's do it. So we're going to hear Nabil's voice. I want to hear your voice, too, today, if Nabil's life, if his ministry helped you grapple well. Maybe some of the videos, the video log that he had, even from the hospital, made a difference in your own life or something that you are going through. Or he answered some biblical questions about Islam before that, or the book that he books that he wrote. I'd love to hear from you. 877-548-3675 is our number. 1-877-548-3675. You'll find us at chrisfabrylive.org. Ryan McConaughey's back with us. Ryan, thanks for doing all things technical there. Amy Rios is our producer today. Tricia McMillan is our consulting producer. Look who's come out of retirement. The Victor was going to be with us today, but he had a car accident over the weekend. He seems to be okay. Just couldn't work today. And we said, no, we'll figure out somebody else. And look who's here. Frodo Washburn, out of retirement, is going to answer your calls. As I said, we were going to look at the 500th anniversary of the Reformation and what Galatians means in that whole process. But Dr. Ray Pritchard said, no, I'll talk about Nabil. He's president of Keep Believing Ministries. He's served around the world. He's spoken. He's been a pastor for a number of years in different states. And our featured resource is an anchor for the soul, or for your soul. It's at chrisfabrylive.org. And that's what Nabil had, and that's what we want to talk about here today. Dr. Pritchard, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Always good to be with you.
Sad news over the weekend. How did you react to it?
You know, like so many others, I had been following over the last year Nabil's journey. In many ways, he did something that's the opposite of what most of us do. When we get a cancer diagnosis, oftentimes, for a lot of reasons, we don't want to talk about it or make it public. He went the other way, Chris. Nabil took us all into his personal journey. He gave us these video logs. You know, from the beginning, the shock of the diagnosis, and then the journey, and the prayers, and the different things he was trying and working through, always the biblical, the tension between praying for healing and saying, Lord, thy will be done, all the way to the end. And so, as you said, it was not unexpected given the events of the last several weeks. And yet it is a crushing blow in many ways, because there's nobody else quite like Nabil Qureshi on the scene. God gave us, just for a few years, of this bright light streaking through the darkness, pointing people to Jesus with. And I was thinking, Chris, what word would I use to describe him? I mean, bold and faithful. But there was a winsomeness about him, a winsome, gentle spirit that just invited you in, whether you were a Christian or Muslim or just a spiritual seeker. What a man. What a testimony. what a life well lived for the Savior. And so very, very sad. He's home with the Lord. We know where he is. We haven't lost him. But a great man has passed off the scene. And humanly speaking, at the age of 34, you want to say, much too soon, much too soon.
Yeah, why? And then all those questions, why? You know, there have been people who we've been talking about Chuck Colson this month, you know, with the gift that we're giving people. And he died much too soon, but he had twice as much time. And plus, you know, I think of Adrian Rogers and all the things that he had planned. And then as soon as he retired or announced his retirement from the church, and then just a few months later, he's no longer with us. But at 34, you think, oh, God, what might have happened in his life? And that's looking at it from our perspective, not God's, obviously.
But, you know, I think that's, well, we don't really have any choice, do we? On our side, I mean, the human side, how could you not feel that way? And you think about his wife and his daughter, and you think, I mean, here's a man who was on the cusp of what seemed to be a rising tide of God's blessing and God's favor. And you had the sense that God was going to use him in an amazing way in the years to come. So there is a point at which you bow the knee and say, the ways of the Lord are past finding out, that God knows what he knows. He knows what he's doing. And still you bow the knee and you say, Lord, we don't understand. We believe that someday we will. And it may yet be, we shall see, that Nabil's death will plant the seeds that will bring a worldwide harvest of people coming to Christ. I know that was his prayer.
Well, one of the things, and I don't say this to say, well, Nabil died and now look at what happened. You can look at that and look at it from an outcome-based faith, and I don't want to go there, but I do say that because of Nabil's stature and because of Ravi Zacharias' stature, I saw in the Washington Post this perspective that Ravi wrote, why this Muslim-turned-Christian speaker resonated with so many before his death at 34. And Ravi spent, you know, in the Washington Post, talks about seeing Nabil the first time across the table and how his, you know, his leg was going, his legs was constantly moving, and that was who he was. He just couldn't sit still because he just had this message for people. And I was watching some of these videos with Ravi and Nabil yesterday, and the clear presentation of the gospel. And not only that, but also answering some of the really hard questions from skeptics on the other side. To me, that was right in the target of what Nabil's life was all about.
Well, here's a man who was on the front lines of, I mean, I was thinking too, he's a millennial. He's a young guy who accomplished so much in these last few years, got his medical degree and came to Christ and then began to work with Ravi and went to Biola and got his master's degree from Oxford. I mean, here's a young man with so much promise and so much to offer. And he did these debates with the Muslims, and he was on Twitter answering the really, really hard questions. So you say, Lord, what is it? What are we supposed to learn here? Certainly, you don't have to live to be 70 to make an impact on this world, because there's a lot of people who live 80 or 90 years, didn't do as much, visibly anyway, as what this one man did in 34 years, and really just a few years of being a Christian and growing and then writing. It just shows the difference that Jesus can make in one man's life.
I love the videos where he brought his wife along and allowed her to just kind of speak directly to people who are praying. And then his little daughter that he came in. The one video that I saw was like, somebody needs to be changed here.
So
he stops the video, comes back. But I want to stay with this. The Reformation 500 year anniversary, that's really important. But I think that this is such an important issue. And as I see folks wanting to jump in here on the phones, 877-548-3675. I want to camp here for a little while, and I want you to hear Nabil's voice over the last year or so in a couple of venues. Dr. Ray Pritchard is with us, and I'd love for you to join us as well at the Radio Backyard Fence here on Moody Radio.
Have a comment about the program today? Call 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-LIVE-675.
We're remembering Nabil Qureshi today on Chris Fabry Live. Dr. Ray Pritchard is with us. I want you to hear Nabil. He spoke after his diagnosis in a number of places, but I saw this from Cornerstone Asian Church in Ontario. Here's a portion of what Nabil said.
But let's say the worst should happen, and let's say God should take me through this disease. I had all these months to prepare for. I had all this time to spend with my wife and my daughter, more memories to make, loose ends to tie up. Tell my parents I love them. Write more works. Write more things to tell the world. This didn't have to happen. God could have taken my life just like that. The end could have come just like that. It happens for people all around the world. So who am I to say that this is a tragedy of the worst order? It's not. There's much worse that's going on in the world today. But no matter what is going on, I cannot think of something worse than being crucified. And of all the reasons to be crucified, I cannot think of anything worse than to be crucified because I love the people who are crucifying me. To save the very people who are crucifying me. That is the worst. And I think about what Jesus went through for us on the cross. When I start feeling self-pity and I start thinking what is happening to me, I just turn my eyes to Jesus. I say, Jesus, what you did for me on the cross far outweighs anything I'm going through right now. There is nothing I am going through that compares to what you went through for me. I will not forsake his name. In the face of any pain, in the face of any suffering, I will not forsake his name. And here's the thing, finally, to close with. If death should come, should the worst happen, should life end, guess what? It's actually only beginning. Because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, it is just the beginning of our real life. Though we're seeing life as if through a veil right now. And we see beauty, we see colors, we see sunsets, we taste tastes, we hear music, we see art, we think this is all so beautiful. This is nothing compared to what waits for us on the other side of this life. And we have assurance that we will be there because of the work of Jesus Christ. So how can we ask the question, God, why is there suffering if you're a loving God? The only way we can ask that question is if we're so hopelessly myopic and short-sighted on our own pains, instead of seeing who God is, what He has done for us, and what He has procured for us in the afterlife. If we stop being so hopelessly self-centered and micro-focused on the pain that we experience in this life, we will begin to see the greatness of God and the eternal picture in which He has procured for us life and life evermore. In the face of an eternal life of bliss with our Creator, no amount of suffering or pain on this earth can shake our confidence in Him.
It's Nabil Qureshi speaking in Canada. In the last of, I couldn't find exactly when that was, Ray, but that was consistent from the diagnosis until his death on Saturday. What he said right there was repeated over and over and over again, wasn't it?
You know, sometimes we wonder what it means to die like a Christian. Well, listen to what Nabil said, and that is how a Christian dies, facing death with his eyes wide open, praying for healing, hoping for a miracle, asking God and asking his friends to pray, but thinking about what Jesus did and saying, it doesn't matter. If I go home to be with the Lord, it will be far beyond anything we have experienced in this life. So I think that is one of the, you know, I'm reminded, Chris, of what John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, used to say when asked about his converts, that how would he describe his converts? And he said, quote, our people die well. That sounds strange in the 21st century, but you know, the Puritans talked often about dying grace and learning to die well. Well, Nabil Qureshi showed us what it means today.
Do you think that that happened, that as last week came and he put these vlogs on from the hospital, from MD Anderson, and he was in Houston, he went through the hurricane and had to be kind of rescued from there, to take him to the hospital and that kind of thing. But as I watched it, I could, you know, the doctors have removed calories from me. If God is going to show up and do something miraculous, it's got to be now. Do you feel like God gave him that dying grace?
Well, there's no question. In fact, you know, those last two videos, the one you're talking about was the next to the last, when they had taken calories away from him and basically said, there's nothing else we can do. And one of the great things about Nabil, he loved life. He wanted to live. He wanted to stay. He wanted to be with his wife and his daughter and so much more to do for the Lord. And so to the very end, especially in that next to last video, very powerful statement of saying, even now, Lord, if you want to, you can work a miracle. Then you go to that very, the final word that he had to say. And it's clear in those last few days, in even a new and deeper way, God gave him a profound experience of dying grace. He died full of faith, full of faith.
I want to play that, and then we'll go to your phone calls. If Nabil made some kind of impact on you, or if his death brings up some questions for you, or I just want to sit here. The Ecclesiastes 7 talks about it's better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, for death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. And there's so much that we can learn as we linger at the life of a person who has gone on. At the death of someone that we loved and that we cared about, and we still care for his family and those who are trying to pick up the pieces here today. So that's what I want to do with Ray. But let me take you to the hospital room, and you probably have seen this if you followed the story. If you haven't, this is kind of what I would say is a tack-on video, that he did this video the day before, or maybe it was the same day that he did this one, but it was like something was eating at him. Something, he wanted to go back. I want to record this. I want to upload this. And this is from his hospital bed. I think it's the last one that I could find. Again, Nabil Qureshi.
Hi, everyone. This is Nabil. I know I just updated a video yesterday, but I've been thinking about some things I wanted to discuss briefly. That I've never really had an opportunity to discuss. And that is where my heart has been during my ministry. There's been a lot of discussion about details about the truth of Islam and Christianity, and looking into the Quran and the Hadith and the Bible and Jesus and Muhammad, etc. You know, I think it's very important that we discuss matters of truth. But at the end of the day, that is supposed to be undergirded by love and by peace. When we talk to people about our beliefs, we should do it through a lens of love. And the whole point should be to bring people together, to bring people together to the truth, and not to hurt one another, but to help one another. And I've noticed at times that people will take the information that I share and use it to undercut one another. That has not been my intent. My whole point in teaching is for love to reign. And so, as you consider my ministry, I hope it leaves a legacy of love, of peace, of truth, of caring for one another. That's my hope and my purpose behind this. And so if at any point I've said anything that seems to contravene that, I do apologize. And I hope that that's not the legacy that I leave behind. Please also pray for my family. They have been taking such great care of me over the past few weeks, especially my father, but also my mother and my sister and my wife. I do hope that there'll be people who will pray for them should the worst happen to me. So please do consider them going forward in your prayers on a daily basis. Okay, I think that's it. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. You know, our God is a God of love, and that should be what keeps us driven. That should be foremost in our mind. So whether you're talking to a Hindu, a Jew, a Muslim, a Christian, whoever you're talking to, may it be out of love. Thanks very much, everyone. I'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure. Bye-bye.
Nabil Qureshi, just a few days before he passed away on Saturday. Ray, what do you say about that?
It's hard to add anything to that. Those last sentences, our God is a God of love. If you say, where does a man end his life? Boy, is that not a good place to end, to come to that last moment and say, our God is a God of love. His love found me. His love can find anyone. Let's be sure we spread the love of God wherever we go. What a fantastic final word.
I also love the thought that, you know, in your last moments or last days, what is it that you'll see? You know, what is the most important thing bubbles right up? And the most important thing that in there was, I don't want anybody using what I've said as this sword, you know, to cut other people with. I want others to be drawn. So if there's any way, anything that I've said that has done that, I apologize. You know, he's at death's door and he's apologizing.
Yes.
That
yes.
just shows the work of God in somebody's life. And please don't use this to hurt other people.
Well, Nabil knew firsthand, this world is full of a lot of anger. I can't think of a time, Chris, when the world has been more uptight and there's been more anger in the world, and between Christians and Muslims and the terrorism and the things that we see around us. And what a thing that a man like that would say at the very end, if I have said anything,
please
forgive me. I didn't mean it that way. And I think those of us who benefited from his ministry, we know he was speaking the truth. He never meant it that way. And what a wonderful legacy to leave behind. Our motivation, he says, is love and peace. Great final word.
Before we take a break, we're talking about Nabil Qureshi today on Chris Fabry Live. We're going to talk about the Reformation, Galatians. We've changed things because I think more than anything, I just sense we need to talk about this. Rod is called from Chicago. Rod, why did you call today?
Well, God bless all of you, Chris. I listen to you guys all day long. I'm a mailman, so I'm walking the street, and I enjoy you guys keeping company. You've been so informative. And when I first started hearing Nabil, I think it was the Trinity on the debate, and I was like, wow. And I was really drawn to him. I listened to his testimonies, and I felt like a personal bond with him. And I watched him on his vlog, even though he was sick. It was amazing, and I can't top what you guys are saying, but even in his suffering, he was still praising God. And I'm like, I mean, I would turn on the YouTube, and, you know, he was just really going down with white around his mouth. And I was, and here he is praising God. I'm like, you know, and here we are always complaining about first world problems, as a friend of mine says. And he's just a testimony. And I feel I feel hurt. And, you know, we hurt because it's more like it's a selfish hurt, because I know that he has stepped into eternity, but we have this selfish hurt because how are we going to feel without him?
Yes.
But he
and his wife and his family and his parents and his little daughter. One of the prayers that he had, Rod, was, I don't think God wants my daughter to be without a father. A daughter needs a loving father. You know, that prayer was at the center of his heart. But what you just said there, Rod, I think is replicated around the country, that Nabil made a connection with people, not just because of the suffering and the cancer that he was going through, which, you know, a lot of people are going through that here today. And that's a connection point. But there was just an authenticity of walk of life that he showed us. And I want to hear more from you. Ray Pritchard is with us today. We're going to pray for Nabil's family and for what's going on. Pray for his ministry to continue even after he has died. So we'll do that at 877-548-3675. This is Chris Fabry live on Moody Radio. If you're like me, the news on Saturday of Nabil Qureshi's death was not a surprise, but at the same time, it was a shock. And then you go through this grieving process of someone who has heard about him, who has perhaps talked with him, who has seen his life put on video and down on the page and the books that he wrote. And his sold out nature, his sold out soul for God. I want to do whatever God wants. And then some of the questions that came. We're going to talk about those questions in this segment, and we'll talk with you as well. Dr. Ray Pritchard is with us. You can find out more about him and our featured resource, chrisfabrylive.org. He's president of Keep Believing Ministries. I don't want to wait until the end to pray, Ray. So would you pray right now for Nabil's wife, for his daughter, for the family around them, and everybody that's going through this loss right now?
Let's pray together. Father, we are so glad that you are the God of all comfort. There are moments, Lord, where we have no place else to go. Moments like this, when our hearts are hurting. We're glad that you hear us when we pray, that you do not turn us away, that you are near to the brokenhearted. And those who are broken in spirit, Lord, you will reach down and deliver. Lord, we lift up Nabil's wife and his daughter, his mom and his dad, the whole family. Lord, family and friends and relatives who feel a sense of enormous loss. Lord, draw near. Draw near by your spirit. Draw near by your comfort. Draw near by your peace. Lord, you said that underneath are the everlasting arms of God. And today, Lord, we pray for his wife and his daughter, especially. May they feel and know that underneath them, holding them up, are your almighty arms. Lord, for the family members, do your work. Draw near to them in their brokenheartedness, in their sadness. Show yourself real and powerful to them. Lord, we thank you that we have the hope of life beyond this life. We have a hope that death cannot destroy. We know what Nabil said. We know what he believed. We pray, Lord, that you will give us that same kind of courageous faith in these days and comfort us, Lord, with the promise of life forever with Jesus that will never end. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ann is in Tuscaloosa, Alabama today. Ann, why did you call?
Well, I am traveling from New Orleans back home to South Carolina, and I was just looking for a radio station and found you all and heard the news of Nabil's passing, and I didn't know Nabil, but felt like I knew him when I read his book, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, and looked at a video of his then, heard his testimony about the division in his family with his parents, and just how heartbreaking that was for him. And then a few weeks ago, he was called back to mind, and I Googled him and found a video. It was a day before he was having a surgery at MD Anderson, and his wife and daughter were wherever home is for them, and his parents were with him. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that's wonderful. There's been reconciliation, through this or maybe even before that. But I just really appreciate this broadcast. I want to send my condolences to his wife, his daughter, his parents, his sister, and his friend David, who he mentions in that book, who they, kind of went back and forth, David being Christian. Nabil was Muslim at the time, and I just loved the last message that you broadcast about love. We could certainly use a lot more of that.
Oh, and for those of us who now are living and carrying on that same message, and I'm glad that we, and I'm sorry that we gave you the information here today, but I'm glad that you responded to that, because I'm hearing that from a lot of people. He felt like, you know, a family member. He felt like somebody that I prayed so hard for him. That's another thing that people are saying. Safe travels to you, Ann, as you're heading back home. Ray, any response to that?
You know, we've mentioned the videos a number of times. He has a Facebook page. Nabil does. In fact, I'm on his Facebook page right now. And if any of you have not seen these videos of the last year, it would be worth your time to go back and watch the evolving, the journey. He let us join him on that journey. And on his Facebook page, they're all linked up there. Here's a man who lived his life out in the open, who put his faith right there for everybody to see. And right up to the very end, he brought us in to the most private and personal parts of his life. And that's an enduring testimony that will continue for years to come.
Yes. We'll link to that as well, to that Facebook page. If you go to chrisfabrylive.org. Let me get Larry in here from Muscatine, Iowa. Hi, Larry. Go right ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. What a privilege it is to be able to speak to both of you. It's kind of a double opportunity for me because although I didn't know Nabil, as many of your callers have said, he felt like a real brother, and I know he was a real brother. And also I wanted to say hi to Ray because I found his book, An Anchor for Your Soul, an anchor for the soul, I guess it was. But what a tremendous foundational book that is in a person's life. And so I want to thank him for that. But I was wondering, the question I had was, I don't know who led Nabil to the Lord, but whoever it was, what a service that was to all of us. And what a testimony that whoever we speak with and can be a witness for the Lord. Wow. How do we know whether that person can go on to become another Nabil, no matter what race, nationality, or no matter how different they are from us?
That's a really good thought, and I'm glad you say that. I've always heard the story of the little church where the traveling preacher preached, and Billy Graham was there that night and gave his heart to Christ, and other people who've had the same kind of experience. But Ray, we don't know who's on the other end of that conversation, do we?
One of the most important verses about evangelism is, I think, from 1 Corinthians 3, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And sometimes we talk about soul winning. That's a great older term, meaning leading people to Christ. But the truth of the matter is that the coming to Christ for most people is a journey. And I know coming to Christ ultimately is an event. It's salvation itself. But Nabil, in his book, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, makes it clear that this friend, David Wood, spent many hours talking to him, and it was many months and a number of years as he was thinking through and processing the claims of Christ and reading the Quran and thinking what it would mean. And frankly, Chris, counting the cost. So I think Larry brings up a great point. You never know. Sometimes all you do with a kind word or a prayer or a verse or just spending time with somebody, you're planting a seed. And maybe you won't be around to see the harvest, but that's okay. We plant, someone else waters. Ultimately, anytime a sinner comes to Jesus, it's always God who gives the increase.
Yeah. Thanks for your call today. And at this point, Ray, and I kind of went back and forth on, it's too soon to bring up a topic from Nabil's life, but this is one of the things that I was struggling with yesterday and with my wife and the kids as we were watching the videos. So how do we make sense of this? What does faith look like in the midst of a prayer that's prayed sincerely and a whole lot of people are praying for his healing, for something miraculous to be done? And when it doesn't happen How do we deal with that? How do we deal with that theologically? How do you know, on a personal basis? So I want to tread lightly into these waters. I'm not throwing this out there to do a show on, you know, what does faith look like in the face of cancer, but I'd love to hear what you have to respond with, because you've been dealing with the same thing.
You know, for one thing, I don't think this topic would bother Nabil at all. It's one reason he put those videos out there. So he invited us all. We've used the word journey. He invited us all to join him on the journey. And one thing that struck me, I can't say I've seen all, I think 43 of the video logs, but I saw a lot of them, that he truly was praying for healing. And he was believing God for healing. And he asked his friends to pray for healing. And all the way down, at least until that next to the last video, because the doctors, Chris, gave him no hope from the beginning, basically, 4% chance it was stage 4 stomach cancer. And so how do you reconcile what the doctor says with, you know, the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord will raise him up from James 5? Well, I don't think Nabil would be bothered by any discussion, because he would say, I prayed, God has answered, I am now home with Jesus, and all is well. So I think we're on perfectly good grounds to at least ask the question, because Nabil has said it's okay. We pray, and then we leave the ultimate resolution in the hands of God.
Yes. One of the videos that he did said just that. And when I think it was the one where he and his wife were there, that he said it's kind of a cop out to pray, you know, heal me now or heal me then, you know, heal me in the next life. Both are good. It's kind of letting God off the hook if we're not really praying for him to do something miraculous here and now, that we don't really believe that he can. And so let's say you're the person who's been praying for Nabil. You've been fasting and praying for months and months and months, and you really believed that God was going to raise him up, was going to take that cancer away, and was going to give him more and more years. And then you hear this news on Saturday. How do you deal with that?
At some point, you finally have to do what we all have to do, ultimately, to bow the knee before the Lord God, creator of the universe, whose ways are far beyond our finding out, and say, Lord, we prayed, we did the best we knew how, and we have entrusted Nabil to you. Your will be done. There is no more basic prayer than that, Chris, to say at the end of the day, Lord, your will be done. And I think that's where Nabil ended up, especially in that final video, giving a final message to his friends. He was praying, I'm sure, to the end that the Lord would heal him. But I think God also gave him that dying grace to say, now is the time. You fight as long as you can. And eventually the moment comes, you put the weapons down and the soldier goes home to be with the Lord. And I think he has heard already, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah, that's one of the questions I see on the board. What is Nabil doing right now? So we can take that call. We've got some other folks on the line here. We'll take a break, come back with our remaining moments. Dr. Ray Pritchard is joining us today on Chris Fabry Live.
Call 877-LIVE-675 to reach Chris Fabry Live. That's 877-LIVE-675.
This is Chris Fabry Live. One segment left in the program. It always goes by so fast. Thanks for your support of Moody Radio and specifically the Radio Backyard Fence. We depend on you to help us continue on radio and the internet. So if you'd like to join with us, go to our homepage, become a back fence friend or partner. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Some books leave a lasting impression. Is that true? I think Chuck Colson's book, Loving God, is one of those. Is Christianity just mentally assenting to the truth, or is there something more? If you're asking that question in your life, find answers in this classic, Loving God. Call 866-95-FABRY to give a gift of any size. Or you could become a backfence friend by going to chrisfabrylive.org. I hadn't thought of what Jeff just emailed me. As we grieve the loss of Nabil Qureshi, just 34... It might help to remember that Jesus died at the age of 33. Both were active in public ministry for just a few years, but that's all God needed in Jesus' case, and almost certainly in Nabil's case too. So he's right. You know, God uses whatever time we have. Lori is in Ohio. Lori, go right ahead. You're on with Ray Pritchard.
Hi, Chris. I have like a question, but it's not like a question that just is about like, geez, what's Nabil doing now? It really comes out of having an experience or understanding how Nabil has reached people. My daughter, who is a college senior, really feels called by the Lord, and she hooked into Nabil and the Ravi Zacharias ministries in terms of their information and their vlogs a few years ago, and it really helped clarify for her what God was calling her to do, which is to outreach to Muslims. And she has this circle of Muslim friends, and she approaches them in many ways like Nabil speaks about in terms of love. And one of them in particular, a special friend, she takes to church. And she just found out and said to me last week, pray for him. He on his own bought a Bible and is reading it. And so, when you think about these things, and this is because my daughter heard the call, but it helped, Nabil helped to refine that in terms of her just she didn't know him personally, but interacting online and reading his works. And so, as we were saddened, and as she found out before I did about Nabil's passing at church, as this friend sat with her, I began to think, we are really sad, but then I wonder, so like, what is Nabil doing? Is he sitting with Jesus, interceding for all the people who are like him, who are like him, who are seeking God, and they will find Jesus? And so that's my question in a really practical kind of way, because I see the influence that Nabil has had, and we don't know how far it will go. It will go far, I believe.
Well, I love what God's doing in your daughter's heart and the way that she's reaching out. And I think that's one of the things that Nabil did was give you this soft heart with all of the rancor that you see and the difficulty, the struggle with Islam and Christianity and the West versus the East, and he had a real soft heart toward people who come from that background. And I think so should we, and I'm glad about your daughter. Ray, what do you say, though, about Nabil in heaven?
There are many mysteries here, are there not? And we want to be careful. We know that he is with the Lord. We are certain of that. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Today you will be with me in paradise. And there is a deep sense, a true Christian sense, in which Nabil Qureshi is more alive today than he has ever been. In fact, I ran across this quote from maybe one of his books. He said, "Without Jesus, we approach life with the expectation of death. With Jesus, we approach death with the expectation of life." Hmm. He has entered into life eternal in a way that is not possible, Chris, for you and me. We're told about the saints in heaven. They worship the Lord, and they serve him there. And I think there's that passage in Revelation 6 about the saints under the altar in heaven, praying, lifting up prayers. How long, O Lord, will the suffering on earth continue? So it seems to me there's some sense in which the saints in heaven are aware of what is happening here. And I don't think biblically there's any problem with the idea of saints in heaven as they serve the Lord, lifting up prayer and praise to the Lord, that great fruit, great gospel fruit would come to the earth and that many more people would follow Jesus. So what was suggested by the caller, I can find no biblical objection to at all. And I think what Nabil said what he said to the church, we have no idea. We think this life is good. He has entered into something, Chris, you and I are only, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. For him it has come true.
And there's so much hope there, and not just hope based on hope, but hope based in reality because of the resurrection. And that's where I want to, and Lori, thank you. And I'm sorry we're not going to get to the other calls here, but I really want to bore down on this issue, and that is the difference between Nabil walking with Allah, seeking Allah, hoping to please Allah, was every day he was working, every day he's striving, every day he's trying, he's praying certain times a day in a certain position and all of that. And when he meets the person of Christ, something happens. something different happens to him. And it's the gospel, really. And I just want you to tell us, what is the gospel, Ray, that Nabil grabbed hold of, or that grabbed hold of him?
I think you've put your finger right on the heart of it. Nabil Qureshi discovered that in Jesus Christ, there was a Lord and a Savior who died for him, who paid the penalty for his sins, who was buried, and on the third day rose again. And because of his death and resurrection, Jesus now gives life, forgiveness, and life to anyone, anywhere, anytime who believes. That's the gospel that Nabil believed. That's the gospel he gave his life to. And that's what he believed to the very end. And by the way, friends, it's the same good news that can do for you what it did for Nabil Qureshi.
Exactly. Your sin for the righteousness of Christ. He gives you his righteousness. You give him your sin. And by grace, through faith, you receive that gift. D.L. Moody said it well a long time ago. You're going to read in a paper one of these days. This is my version. You're going to read that that D.L. Moody is dead. Don't you believe it? I'll be more alive then than ever. And I believe that about Nabil Qureshi. Not because he was a great guy or did everything perfectly. No, he was a flawed, sinful guy just like you and me. But because of what Jesus did for him and his righteousness on Nabil's life. That's the hope that we have. Ray, thanks for being with us. God bless you.
Thank you, Chris.
If you go to chrisfabrylive.org, you can find out more about An Anchor for Your Soul. And Nabil's family, I think, has a GoFundMe page, too. You'll find information about that. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org. Our program's a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Global Ministries. Thanks for listening.